Welcome everybody to the Bertie County Board of Commissioners, April 8, 2024 meeting. And can I have the county manager do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Chairman John Strand.
Present.
Vice Chair Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Corey Ballance.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Wesson. Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Assistant County Attorney Jonathan Huddleston.
Present.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, an invocation pledge allegiance by
Mrs. Ellis. Let's pray. Father, Father, you call first of all, say thank you. Thank you for allowing all of us to make it through another day's journey. We ask God that you be in the midst of this meeting, God, use our hearts and minds to govern your people, God. We just thank you for those that's here, those that may be listening by way of social media. We just say thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, public comments. We have a 3-minute public comment section. Does anybody got any public comments? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Commissioner and Commissioners and County Manager. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of our newly employed, but not so newly now, our Director for Social Service. Since she's been with us, well, let me back up. Before she came to Bertie to become the director for the department, as you know, I don't need to tell you, of course, the department was in all kind of trouble. We wound up having the state to come to help us out. We went through an application process to find a director, which was very hard to do. And we were fortunate and lucky enough to have her to compete for the job. Even after the application process, we still had to go through a lot of effort to get her to take the job. And I think the county is blessed to have her as a director because since she's been here, the department has changed 100%. I mean, some of the things that she's done already for the department in the recruiting process, we were losing people. She started her recruiting effort, not just for the Department of Social Service, but allowed the other members who are interested in filling positions for the county to participate in that process. She has gone to various community activities, sharing with them the type of services that's available within the Department of Social Service and informing the community as what's available to them. Basically the individuals who work there, I can say that the morale of that group now is changing. She's making every effort to provide the quality training for the new people. And I'll have you to know that some of the senior people that she had with the workload as much as it is, they're having now to train the new people and continue the workload that they already had, which is double work for them. And I would just like to, like I say, take advantage of this opportunity to tell you if it's any way you see fit, that the county will compensate her for the type of work that she's doing and to increase her salary to reflect the type of effort that she's putting into the county. Like, again, we are fortunate to have her. And if we want to keep her, then we probably going to have to do something a little bit better than what we're doing there as far as salary go. So my plea to you is please, please do what you can to help her get an increase so that we can keep her and continue to serve the people of Bertie County as she has. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
I will comment. Since I served on that DSS board with you,
mm-hmm.
Everything you mentioned and said is correct.
Good, thank you.
Mother, that female had done a superior job for Bertie County and Bertie County citizen, anyone that would take off. Advantage of the opportunity that she has exhibited, you know. So everything you say is correct 100%. Thank you for your leadership as chairman of the DSS board.
Well, I appreciate it. Anything that I can do for the betterment of the county, that's I'm here for that, and I'm finding out that she's here for the same reason.
Her efforts have not gone unnoticed.
Well, we appreciate that. Good. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Any other 3-minute comments? There are none. We'll proceed on to it. Public hearing concerning levying room occupancy tax of up to 6%. In 2021, Bertie County Commissioners voted to establish a travel and tourism as an important economic development category focused on the county's best assets, nature, history, and culture. These assets drive travel and tourism economies by leveraging new businesses, jobs, and careers and opportunities. To fund the marketing and promotion of this new economy, Bertie County is seeking a 6% occupancy tax, also called a vacationer's tax, and a tourism development TDA to provide administration of the proceeds. At this time, are there any public comments in reference to this? We're one of very few counties that do not have an occupancy tax. If anybody has any comments about this, please stand up, come up to the podium. If there are none, which there seems not to be, I'm going to read a motion. A motion to adopt the levying of a room occupancy tax of 6% under the authority conferred by the North Carolina Session Law 23-144 as enacted by the North Carolina General Assembly applies to the gross receipts derived from the rental of any room, lodging, or accommodation furnished by a hotel, motel, inn, tourist camp, or similar place that is subject to the sales tax imposed by the state of North Carolina under North Carolina General Statutes 105-164-4A and 3, and will be effective on the first day of the second calendar month after the date the tax is adopted. A resolution with the TDA guidelines will be submitted for approval on June 3rd of 2024. Is there a motion to pass this?
I make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a first by Commissioner Robinson and a second by Commissioner Balance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. At this time, I'd like to convene the Board of Equalization Review, Tax Administrator for Jody Gray. Can I have a motion to go into the Board of Equalization, please?
So moved.
We have a first.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, say aye. Aye. We're now in the Board of Equalization Review.
Good evening. At this time, we do not have any appeals before the board.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes. So you can now recess until April 22nd.
Okay. Yeah. Can we have a motion to recess to April 22nd?
I make the motion that we recess reference the equalization review until April the 22nd.
Is there a second?
2024.
Please? Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor say aye. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
ABC Board Updates Presentation, Chairman Michael Freeman.
Good evening, everyone. As the chair said, my name is Mike Freeman. I chair Bertie County ABC Board. I stand here to tell you Bertie County ABC Board is alive and well. I brought with me today my other board members, Miles Davis, Sharon Jones. I also have my general manager, Clint Freeman, and store manager, Makita Outlaw. I'm going to step aside a minute and let Sharon present the alcohol education rehabilitation check.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. I am Sharon, board member, ABC board. It's good to see all of y'all again. Again, good afternoon. I stand before you on behalf of the ABC, Bertie County ABC board. sense, our sense of purpose and responsibility. Our schools are the incubators of knowledge shaping the minds of future leaders. That being said, I want to honor, my honor is to present you with a check for $5,595. And I want to ask Mr. White if he can come down and accept that check from me.
He is the biggest visitor today we see.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
That check represents 7% of the distribution. Now I'll ask Miles to come up and present the law enforcement check.
As always, this is a pleasure for the ABC board to come before the county, as we're one of your few boards, if the only board, that never comes and asks you for anything, but comes to give you something. This shows a progress that the ABC system in North Carolina is the greatest alcohol control system in the nation, because not only do we control alcohol and prevent it from getting into the wrong hands, prevent it from getting to children. In fact, we're going to do a education on Wednesday concerning that. But we also make a profit for our localities in that the money we receive goes to law enforcement, goes to education, goes to the general fund of this county, goes to the general fund of our state, and maintains it. In fact, last year, I believe the general statute received close to $300 million, which that means that's not tax money. That's money that's because that everybody can succeed in. I'd like to give this check to the law enforcement, and I'll ask Representative Ron Robeson come down. Let me present this to you.
Hey.
He's gonna want 10%.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thanks, I'll make sure to give it back. Okay. Thank you.
That check represents 5% of the distribution. We had a total sales of $1,300,000 this past year, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a record for ABC sales. And the county receives 95% of the profit. But before I tell you the amount of your check, I'm going to give you some more numbers to run around in your head. We gave the state $298,000 in excise tax. We had sales tax of $92,000. Of course, 2.25% of that comes back to the county, which is a good thing. Now, out of that $1,300,000, we paid our employees, we paid all of liquor bills, all the overhead, and this is where the county come in and get their profit. We wound up with a profit of $36,529. So I have a check for that amount to be presented to the county. And I believe it goes in the general fund, if I'm not mistaken. So that kind of helped relieve the tax burden on the taxpayers of the county. Mr. Trent. After they take this, the rest of you come down and
So we all think one another. That's the big supporter you have right there.
You do that 500 foot long one.
This is chaos, man. No, no, no. Yeah, I'll be sure.
There you go. There you go. Perfect. I couldn't really see. I couldn't really see Commissioner. There we go. Perfect. One, two, three. Hold him as one. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. John, you need Peters. Wednesday at Burt T. High School. We would do a underage drinking program. The Booze It or Lose It truck would be there. All the first responders, the fire, highway patrol, game warden, emergency management, and sheriff. Our featured speaker for the event will be none other than Burt T. County's own sheriff. So we invite all of you to come. Thursday morning, we will be at the town of Windsor presenting them their profit check, which is 5% of the, but that other 5% from the 95% check. But gentlemen, we thank you for letting us serve you. We know this is a money-making business, so we do what we can to see that you get a profit each year. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman, what time on Wednesday? I'm sorry. I was trying to write.
9 o'clock. Yeah, because you didn't show last year.
Right. Oh, it's a tough crowd tonight.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Freeman. Next on the agenda is going to be North Carolina DOT update, Burt T. County Comprehensive Transportation Plan.
You just use the arrow here. Okay. Yep.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Killian, and I'm with NCDOT Transportation Planning Division. Here I have Scott Walson with me and Max, and I have Stephanie Harmon from the PNFL RPO. And today we're just going to be talking a little bit about the 2050 Burt T. County Comprehensive Transportation Plan and kind of where we are with that. The goal today is just going over some updates of the plan and receiving any input from y'all. Just a little bit of background on what a CTP is. So CTP is a long-range needs-based plan. The goal of these is to identify solutions to transportation problems. And for this one, we're going all the way through the year 2050 and just trying to see what the needs of the community will be and how we can address those in the CTP. We look at a lot of the other plans that have already been done in the area, and we bring together everything from highway, bike and ped, and public transportation plans. And a CTP is very important. It's the first step in project development. So before you can apply for funding for all these kinds of projects, it has to be in the CTP and make it into that. So here's kind of the process of everything from going from getting funding to building a project and to maintaining it. So as you can see, the transportation planning or the CTP is the very first step of all of that. So that's kind of where we are currently for Bertie County. And just to note, so a comprehensive transportation plan isn't a final design or anything like that. All of that detail comes later. This is merely just a way to kind of show where there needs to be improvements and yeah, where we can apply them later. And why do we have these? It's part of the NC General Statute, and here's all of it written out if you want to read it. But that's kind of where it comes from. It's state law. Some benefits. Obviously, we're going through, we're trying to find efficiencies in the community, and we want to bring the community together and see, you know, where your needs are as well and get some public input. We look at all different modes of travel, and we're also looking at some environmental concerns in the area. So I know y'all have a lot of flooding issues, so we've kind of looked at that as well for this plan. And again, kind of the main goal and the benefit here is it helps prioritize the project so we can end up getting funding later on. And the cost, it's free. It's obviously paid for through the government. So here's a list of the steering committee that we've had for Bertie County. We've been meeting over the past year or so, usually about once a month. And yeah, we'll just meet and go through everything from getting the public input survey to to just going through and looking at deficiencies and starting to put together this plan and come up with some recommendations for the area. So we had a public input survey, and we had paper copies of that and online copies, and that was out into the public from June to August this past summer. And so we released that and just had a lot of questions, you know, asking locals, what are your opinions on transportation? What can be improved? What are some goals of the area? So a lot of what we saw from that is there's better access that's needed, and people said they really want transportation to help with some of the economic growth. And we also found that Windsor is an area where a lot of people spend their leisure time. You know, there's some restaurants there and things, and they have a lot of really good sidewalks, but there could be some need for sidewalk improvements just to connect some areas that that people are traveling on. And so we took all that information into account and we put together some recommendations for the plan. And so here, this is for Pitt County, but this is an example of what the final CTP is going to look like. We have a new 2.0 format. So the old CTP for Bertie County was done back in 2012, and that's online. But the new one's going to look a lot fancier. It's going to have some pictures in it, and it's going to be a lot more user-friendly. And I have copies of it, too, if you want to look through it. But yeah, it just has a lot more colors and easy-to-read maps. And yeah. All right, so going through some of the recommendations. So for the highway, we have the I-87 improvements to US 17. So this is just going to be recommending upgrading the 4-lane divided roadway into interstate standards. And we kind of split that into 4 different sections, as you can see with the numbers. And the numbers there are just used to kind of identify where the projects are on the map. And those aren't any type of prioritization or anything like that. That's just merely a way to kind of code it. We also have a roundabout at NC-11 and NC-308. There are a couple track crashes that have been reported there, and that just seems like an area that a roundabout could provide a lot of help. We have US-13 upgrades as well. This is just widening the roadway to multi-lanes for some better traffic flow. NC-11 widening. Again, this is just going to help with the flow of traffic and improve some intersections along the way. Especially during the peak rush hour.
Can we ask questions about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's back up to Highway 11, 308. So there's some crashes. You're going to do something different there. Is that what you said? You spoke kind of low. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah. NC-11 and NC-308, we put a proposed like roundabout in there.
Okay. So you're proposing a roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about the 4-lane
Highway 11, since the property had already been acquired back in the 90s.
She said that. She said that they were proposed to make that
Highway 11. Yeah.
Well, what's the proposal date on that? Since the property already been acquired.
Let's see. On the next slide here. So we have NC 11 widening to a 4-lane there, and you said the property's already been acquired.
The land already been acquired.
Oh, okay. Well, we're just. I think it's.
Yeah, it might not be funded. Just because it's in the comprehensive transportation plan doesn't necessarily mean it's been funded.
Okay, but how, whatever you're talking about being widening, like Mr. Jones is saying, how far back will it go? Will it go to the 4-lane in Bethel and come all the way through? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. We're just talking about the Bertie County section. So yeah. there are other plans that are being developed.
Okay, so you're talking about 4-lane just through Bertie County?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what was the possibility? How does it look being funded? You know, because the property being already acquired, that really, you know, that's the major step for the right way to get out the private property.
But yeah.
How would it be built? And then, you know, it just drops off the, you know, it should be a plan where that, you know, 5 years later, 3 years later, some dirt style.
Some trees.
Yeah. Well, so this is just like, this is very preliminary. So it's important that it gets in here because then all of that can follow.
I've been there for a long time. You know, and I think.
Yeah.
It's been submitted for scoring in the P7 process, which is going on right now. And I know it's been submitted multiple times through multiple SPIP processes, but it's still being scored. And we just have to look and see the scores for this round to see if we can get funded this time.
So. Okay. Ms. Hall, does it be scored by traffic?
That's what I was going to
say. A lot of the scoring does have to do with congestion. Congestion and safety are the two major.
Sure.
You know.
And we should be getting.
We need to send the traffic engineer out there. It's like this.
And we should be getting some scores in the next month or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been working with Stephanie and, but yeah, again, this is just a very general plan and it's just important that it gets in here at all and then we can go through Stephanie.
Intersection 13, between 13 Powellsville, that loop coming from Powellsville going to 158 in Hereford County. The bypass is supposed to be a loop.
Yeah, we have.
No, no problem. The problem is in Burton County. Right there in Powellsville at the intersection.
Oh, yeah.
Going through bypass Powellsville town.
Right.
That's also been submitted for scoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
But has it been funded?
No. That's why it has to go through scoring again.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, good question. Thank you. And yes, we also have NC45 road widening as well.
Has it been funded?
Part of it has been funded.
Wait.
I'm sorry?
Wait.
Yeah, you can see on the map. So that top section there, that one has already been funded, but the rest of it has not been funded. So we included it in the plan.
You know when it'll be lit.
It's a good question.
I don't know that.
I don't know. I can get back to you on that.
How about Paul?
Yeah, that would probably be a question for the division. But yeah,
I've been coming from 17 here, doing the loop back on 17. Going towards Eaton. I see that. It's on the program. Has it been funded?
That's also going through scoring right now.
Going through scoring also.
So it hasn't been funded yet. But it is one of the high priority projects for the state.
Okay, because we have, you know, we have a beach there. We'd like to use some of that assistance.
We also, last time you guys came, we had a conversation with reference, you know, advice 87, 90, 17, going past Virgin Cannon Beach. Rest area in that area. Has there been any thought process put towards that?
Rest area?
I'm sorry, well, the rest area probably wouldn't be covered in this sort of plan. So that'd be more of a design process and other people would decide that. So we would not make a recommendation for a rest area. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
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 It definitely would help our beach access coming in there and also an exit ramp going into there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what would be kind of that person that we need to make contact with it so that it being planning part of the planning stage when I-87 do come through.
Yeah, so I mean we could include that in the probably not on the maps, but we probably could include that in the, there's a section in the report called other community interest that the commissioners are interested in.
Yeah, we
that. So we can include that.
We've got millions of dollars invested in that property now, and also the infrastructure that's going in. And also, you know, right there is where, you know, could change history.
Yes.
With the archaeological digs that are going on and things of that nature. So it's better to put it in head, be thinking about it, because we're going to need something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sooner the better.
Okay. Well, we're making notes. Yeah. So we'll take notes of that. We'll get that in. Yeah. That's what it said.
We definitely need that research in the area.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that.
But we definitely want Highway 11 widened through West Virginia.
Yeah. I can't understand the problem, man, that, you know, probably been acquired, you know, over 10 years ago, over a decade, and no dirt, no trees cut. Just you got to control access fence on both sides.
Right now, you got methane plants out there, carbon capturing plants out there, not to mention Purdue, of course, Garland International, 20-megawatt biomass power plant. You've got all kinds of things being built out there right now that is causing traffic to go through Lewiston, coming down Highway 11, making it hard enough to go down 308. And this is all happening, and it's going even faster. We also have people coming in from The Norfolk Shipyard, a consulting group, has come back to look at the properties that we have in the Kelford and Roxville areas that would be facing off of Highway 308 and Highway 11. That's going to increase even more if they start purchasing. They've already looked at about 15 different parcels of land with me. So, anyhow, that's something that we need to be concentrating on.
Well, yeah, well, we're taking notes, and we're glad to hear your opinion. So thank you for sharing that. Okay. And we also have quite a few bike and ped, or I guess mostly ped plan recommendations here. So we've got quite a few in downtown Windsor, and a lot of this is just connecting sidewalks that are already there. So this first one here, one on the map, this is just extending... extending where the current sidewalk ends all the way to the recreation center. So kind of going out of the downtown Windsor area. Then we have some adding some sidewalk along Windsor Oaks kind of area. I believe there's a development kind of around there. So that sidewalk would just provide access to that. And then there's a couple other spots where we're just kind of extending the sidewalk just so people can get to different restaurants and things. There's a Bojangles around number 5 on this map, and so we proposed extending some sidewalk around there so people can get into that Bojangles, and that had been a comment that we had heard from multiple people. And Windsor Elementary, we proposed some sidewalk kind of connecting into that so people have better access to that as well. And in Askewville, here we propose adding some sidewalk. I believe there isn't any sidewalk currently. And so this will just connect kind of the downtown area. There's a preschool there and a church. So that'll kind of tie that all in together. And then here in Coleraine, again, there's already some sidewalk here, but we're just recommending extending the sidewalk a bit to connect to the Family Dollar. That's a place that a lot of people seem to go to. So that would help connect to that. And then in Lewiston Woodville, we propose adding a bit of sidewalk. And again, this is just kind of extending out to the city limits and providing access to the Dollar General and restaurants and just hopefully allow more people to get there. So we're talking to you today. We wanted to get your input. And after this, we are going to have some public workshops where people from the community can come out and we can show them kind of what we're thinking and some of these plans. And then after that, we would go through and hopefully have all of the towns adopt and endorse. So that has to go through the county, all the municipalities, and then the PNFL RPO. And then finally, it would go through the NC Board of Transportation. So here's our contact information, and thank you. Is there any, are there any other questions or things you want to discuss?
So you continue to collect information?
Yeah, we'll have a public workshop.
So on the county's behalf, I would like to make sure that the coastal resiliency planning is adopted, maybe before I look at it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a number of projects and municipalities where they have walking trails planned and sidewalks planned in combination with a downtown park and all. So we want to make sure that we connect with
it. Okay, yeah, we'll have to get your contact information. And is that in Windsor or where? Or just?
Well, throughout the county, different pockets. Okay. And then the coastal resiliency plan, that was adopted last year. But there's a range through the state. And then there's, I don't know, 13, 14 different projects cited in that as priorities. We can only take one at a time, and it only takes multiple years. But I'd like to see all those.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Request for Bertie County Representative on the Peanut Belt RPO Transportation Advisory Committee, Principal Planner Stephanie Farman.
All right. Thank you for letting me come before you to make this request. I'm Stephanie Harmon. I've been with the Peanut Belt RPO for almost 3 years now. And we were lucky enough to have a representative on our TAC Transportation Advisory Committee for several years with Commissioner Lee, former Commissioner Lee. And then Commissioner Robertson, he has served on our TAC for a short time. So now we are looking for a new representative from the county commission. It can be a commissioner or it can be someone appointed by the commissioner. It does not have to be an actual commissioner as long as they represent the county in some way. And the TAC is they're both important. We have the TCC, which is the Technical Coordinating Committee, and they make recommendations to the TAC, but the TAC is really the decision maker for anything that happens within the Peanut Belt RPO. Now is a very important time to have a representative for the county because we are going through the P7 scoring process. We are discussing all of these projects in all four of our counties. We represent Bertie, Hertford, Northampton, and Halifax counties. So we have municipal representation on the TAC. We have Mayor Peel from Powellsville. And then we have representation on our TCC. We have Mr. Vaughn, and we have Tracy White. And we have Alan Castello as a representative from Windsor on our TCC as well. So I know it's not always easy to serve on the TAC. You do have to fill out the required North Carolina Ethics Commission forms stating, you know, different personal items, but nobody else sees those besides the commission. So you don't have to worry about it getting out into the public. So those do have to be done every year once you decide that you would like to serve on the TAC. And once you do it 1 year, if nothing changes, you can always do a no change form. So it's a little bit easier after that first year. That first year can be a little taxing to do those forms, but once it's done, and it's usually over with very quickly. So we meet every other month. Our last meeting was in March, and it was in Murfreesboro at the Chowan University campus. We will be meeting again in May on the 16th, and we hope to have that somewhere here in Bertie County. So we're looking for a spot. We like to move it around to different locations, so we're not always having it in the same spot, and not everybody has to travel every time. So we have a Zoom and an in-person option every time. So if you can't make it in person, you can always Zoom in. But we do, but if you would like to take some time to think about it, that's fine. But we would like to have a representative chosen by our next meeting in May.
Colonel Lee, I know we have spoken about this, but I think you have time to serve on this.
Can I get that?
You can.
Okay.
Let me do that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. But yeah, as soon as you know, please have the clerk draft up a letter, you know, stating your appointment, and I'll add you to the list. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is we talked last board of destination for the update project consultant.
Okay. Evening, everyone. Real quick about the occupancy tax. We thought that the best way to inform citizens, and I realize everybody doesn't have a motel or hotel, but just to inform everybody that we would print one page information and have it enclosed in the annual property tax that goes out. It would be about $600 to do that, black and white. Jody's gotten prices to have the printer done. And I think we're looking at early June to have that completed. So just so you know that. Tall Glass of Water, we're still waiting to hear on a USDA grant that was submitted for the planning for phase two and phase three. The draft of the park manager, Latoria, has given it to Mr. Vaughn. So you still, okay. So that's still in process. Donna, Parks and Recreation, will still be submitting the 150 request to get it up and running, get the campgrounds done, and have hopefully equipment for that person when they are hired. Chronicle Heritage is the firm that was looking at the entire 147 acres as required by the Land and Water Conservation Fund and Parks and Recreation Trust Fund for an accessibility for parks grant. They reviewed the whole 147 acres, and as of last week, they have not seen anything thus far that is of concern for Section 106. So I'm happy to hear that. So we'll move forward with that. They should have that report done, and then we'll file the necessary paperwork with SHPO to move forward. Our funders celebration, we had talked about having in spring. It's too tight of a time frame right now. We're looking at early fall, and that would be in connection with the natural heritage designation that we received from the state cultural resources. But also the Old Growth Forest Network wanted to be involved in helping to plan that celebration. They're looking at the Southern Hook Swamp that we share with Salmon Creek State Park. So it's a neat award to have. It's a really special place. It's a virgin forest, lots of deciduous growth. I think it would be cool to have all of those groups together at that funder ceremony. Now I have a layout for you about a horse trail. We've been approached a few times by a number of horse riders in the county and even outside of the county. Donna and I had a site visit a few months ago, and really the question in our minds originally was we didn't want any trailers to go beyond the entrance of the park. And our understanding is that that's not going to happen. People really want to pull in the horse trailers and just make a loop in that first field on the left, which seems doable. I don't see any problem with it. In the future, when we design the new road for Bertie Beach, the asphalt road, that's going to go right there. So it's not going to alter any of our future plans at all. But we'd like to go ahead and get the approval to tell some of our local horseback riders that they can do that. Any questions on that layout? Is that a yes or no? Yeah, we're good to go, okay. Flood resiliency. This is the 7.3.4, that Cucklemaker Swamp and Hoggard's Mill combination. We received a transfer of data that we were waiting for from Dr. Dahl, Barbara Dahl, and CSU. And our hydrologist, Andy Deal, is looking that over. Once he reviews all of that information, there's a ton of it, then he'll know what our scope of work is to move forward with the hydrology study. And then we can access our BRIC grant. BRIC grant was small. It was planning money. It was $125,000. But we have to get all that engineering together to be able to apply this next year for the implementation funding. So that's moving along well. Destination Bertie, I hope everybody has seen the video. It was great, well received. That is the anchoring video for hopefully acquiring more surveys. The survey will be up and running on destinationbertie.com until May. DBD will be here again in April 17th, 18th, and 19th. They'll be visiting each of the municipalities to take a range of pictures and meet with folks about what their visioning is for the future. And all of that information we're collecting to put into the Travel and Tourism Master Plan. Strategic Plan, April 22nd, we'll be meeting with you. And our target for that time is not money per se, but zeroing in on we know what your five focus areas are, and we have lots of objectives and action items to get there, but we need to tighten up what are our focus areas for year one and year two, so we stay on track. So that's what we'll focus on the 22nd. That's it.
Okay. Questions for Rob?
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we have a financial summary by Assistant County Manager David Scarborough. We're going to put that off to the 22nd. We're waiting for some information to come in from county, from auditors and things of that nature. So we're going to push that back to the 22nd of April. Board appointments, County Manager, we don't have any?
No, sir.
Okay. Consent agenda. Approval of registered D sheets report March 24th. Have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approved February 20th, 24, open and closed session meetings. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved and accepted minutes.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval amendments to contract to audit accounts by Malden and Jenkins LLC. You have any comments on this?
Only comments I have is this is our auditor.
Yeah.
And anytime that our audit is late, the LVC requires that this form, which is an amendment to the contract, that it be completed
okay.
and approved by the board.
Okay. You have a motion for approval, please?
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approved the North Carolina Department of Adult Correction Leave Agreements.
Yes, so the Department of Adult Correction leases two different office spaces from us. One is across the street on Granville Street, and well, the former data reporting center. The other is an office located in the courthouse, and this is a historical agreement that has been around for some time. Our attorney has reviewed it, and again, it's $1 for the year.
Okay, have a motion, please.
So moved that we accept the lease agreement.
A second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Budget amendments? Do you have any?
We have one budget amendment. Budget amendment.
Look at the next one I have. The budget amendment, basically, the sheriff was here a few moments ago, but he's not. In the past several months, we've had several cars damaged, and the insurance check has been returned, and they want to get the cars fixed. In order to do that, we're going to take it out of the insurance pool and put it into the sheriff's budget so they can fix the cars. Sir?
When it is leased.
That's vehicles? Correct.
Okay, so then we'd have to give them the check, wouldn't we? The lease company?
Yes, I mean, the lease company, Enterprise, is the one who actually helps us to identify what needs to be done, but they need the money from the insurance in order to pay for at least part of the repairs. It's okay. Not a full.
Need a motion to approve this budget. Have a second. Well, first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, other items, discussion agenda. Guess who's looking back? Recreational complex basketball course request for proposal update.
Hi, it's me again.
It's you.
It's me again.
You're right.
So, as you know, back in February, we put out the RFP for the basketball outdoor basketball court out at the Recreation Center. It ran for a month. We posted it on our website, on Facebook, and on the state's purchasing platform that we always use. We received no responses. And so I guess it's up to y'all to determine, you know, what you want to do next. If you want to try and do this again and post it again, or there are other, or if you want to consider reallocating the money that you set aside for this to other things.
Let's push this back to the 22nd, discuss it
then. Just Mr. Weston, thank you.
Next one, animal shelter update.
The animal shelter up there, as you recall, we put the bid out and we've got a contractor, A.R. Chesson, was low bid for $1.3 million. We currently have $410,000 available to work with the animal shelter. The A.R. Chesson is waiting patiently to see what we want to do with this, how we want to move forward on that. The county manager and I have talked about it, and you know, the options are the best. The only options that I can think of, and you can, if you come up with more, that's fine. But the first one is to approve the contract and allow them to get started, with the understanding that we as a county are going to have to allocate $1.3 million or $1.3 minus $900,000 to within the next 2 years' budgets to pay for the cost of building this animal shelter. The next choice would be that we could ask A.R. Chesson to hold the bid at the price that they've given us until we know for sure whether or not we're going to get funding from the state, like we have been discussing, and then ask them for another month or so to see what that process is. We don't know how long it will be into the short session where we know if we will get any revenue from them. That's an option. We could reject all the bids and put it back out for bid again to see if we get them coming back in at a lower price.
That's what I recommend.
Actually, I do too. The other thing is too, this thing is valued. First time, has anybody seen a full set of prints?
I saw it sent out the last one.
That wasn't prints. That wasn't full set. But anyhow, full sets of prints, and it needs to be valued engineered. Right now, this thing's coming up $866 a square foot. We got a 911 communication center, as David and I were speaking earlier. It's coming in at $1,000 a square foot, but this is equipment, radio equipment, all kinds of stuff. So $134 a square foot difference on dog shelter versus a 911 communication center, which is 5,500 square feet. Okay. So I'm telling you where I'm sitting at because of the price and where we're at. The value engineering needs to be done to this project to see where this thing is at. Is my vote would be against it once we bring this to a motion. And if anybody else has any discussion on this, let's hear it.
I have a different question. Since PETA's in the room, does PETA have any funding for animal shelters since y'all have so much concern?
Oh, well, I mean, you're welcome to submit a proposal or send something to PETA if you have a specific ask. I don't make the decision, but you can certainly reach out.
But do they typically fund buildings?
Don't.
Oh, then, okay.
It could be like some kind of donation or something like that.
About $1 million? $1 million donation?
And, I don't make those decisions.
Just curious.
Okay. But I think we need to revisit that, David. You know, number one, price is too high per square feet. You know, I think we could get a lower bid than that. You know, I think Al Chesson Group probably come back with a little lower.
Well, we did ask them to go back and look at some of the ways they could cut it, but when they came back, there was a very minimal amount that they were able to reduce it, so it wasn't even worth bringing it up to your attention.
Okay, well, we
can
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the only other option we, Juan and I talked about were, we could actually cancel the project. And if we cancel the project, we have $400,000 that we could then go to the state and find out what it would take for us to take the existing shelter and do something to it to make it sustainable for another couple of years until such point where we could try and find some other funding.
Okay, but to build another canceling one. The contract right now, correct?
Pardon me?
That means we'd have to cancel the contract right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
If we decide to rebid it, or then another factor to take into consideration is the architect who's currently working with us to help do this, his contract would have to be renegotiated and considered as well.
Okay. All right. So the motion would be either we turn around, cancel the contracts completely, okay, or we accept the contract as is, or, and without any money, of course, or we wait and ask Chesham if they can hold the bids for us for a couple months to see whether or not we'll get any money from the state. What is the board's pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I think we could ask Al Chesham to hold his bid until a short section is over with and see how much money we get back from the state. With the work they have going on, I don't see a problem where they can kind of be working on other projects while we're on the stand still here.
Well, I want to stand out and understand that I have not spoken to them about that. I mean,
understand.
It could be that we go back and contact them and they tell us they're not willing to do that. And if so, I'll be back here on the 22nd.
That's fine. You're going to have a second motion on the table to cancel the contract completely. And we ended up going back out to rebid.
I am not providing a motion to you.
That we could still do that now. If they're not willing to wait and see what the short section said, we still can cancel the contract.
And then go out for rebid. I mean, that would be the next step, I would think.
Yeah.
For right now, if you're asking what my recommendation is, I would at least like to approach Chesson to find out if they can hold it to see if we're going to get additional funding.
Mine is to cancel it completely. That's my motion. So we have two motions on the table.
Wait. No, go ahead. You go, please. So we put it out. We had one bid.
No, we had three.
Okay.
Mine's
been I got you. That's correct. Three. So AR Chesson was the
rate them and we rated them. And
I got you.
The low bid was 1.3, the high bid was 2.9.
So what would the additional cost be if we, with Jordan, just put it back out for bid? What would the additional cost be with the architect?
I don't know. We'd have to talk to him about that because, I mean, the contract states $80,000, and then $80,000 was for him to do the design work and then to work on the proposal and to manage the RFP process. And then once we hired a contractor to work with the contractor to build the animal shelter.
And so that's for him to take on an additional
2 months or whatever of time to put the ad back out, put the proposal back out, and to help us select that a vendor that time. I don't know what that, and I don't think he's on there. I asked him if he could be on here, but I just can't answer how much more that would be right now. I'd have to go back. Based on what y'all tell me is where I'm going to go back and start.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yes, I have a question to counsel. Are there things that we should consider or would have to consider if we go back out with the same bid when it's already been put out there, what the lowest bid is without changing anything?
Slip in here real quick?
Please.
My contentions are somebody needs to meet with the architect, okay, and do a value engineer of what we've got, why this thing is so high, ask these questions, and find out what the difference is. Because this is just unbelievable. I mean, with the amount of money that's going into this animal shelter. And I can't constantly spend the taxpayers' money in Bertie County of $866 a square foot when we got 911 communication center. That's $1,000 a square foot, which is $134 a square foot difference. And it's 5,500 square feet. And, you know, I can't justify that number. And so that's where I stand at. And that's the reason I say cancel contracts. We need to meet with the architect, sit down face to face, and revalue his engineering, what he's doing, or how he's doing this.
Yeah, I think one thing you're alluding to is when you rebid, typically you sometimes value engineered it after you got these bids back. They're all too high. You get with your architect, you sort of value engineered it. Maybe then you put it back out for bids. So there's this bidding law question that says, can you just rebid the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do, I mean, the practical answer is if you rebid the same thing, you might just get the same bids.
Mm-hmm.
So what the chairman is saying sounds like a pretty good way to go about it.
So the motion's on the table. Okay. I'm sorry, which system?
I said second the motion. Let's move with it. Counselor.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll go back and revalue the engineering and as far as the architecturals and go from there. Okay, we have first. Is there a second?
Second.
I'm sorry. First. Okay, we have a first. We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay, so for clarification for me, we're going to cancel the contract.
Well, we don't have a signed contract.
We're going to reject the bids.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Are you rejecting bids or are you canceling a contract with?
We don't have a contract.
We don't have a contract.
We don't have a contract with the architect. I mean, with Got the construction it. Firm, yes.
Okay.
So we're going to reject the bids and I'm to go back to the architect and ask him to meet with you to discuss the architectural plans.
Yeah.
To better understand it.
Right.
See if there's anything
Absolutely.
To be done.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got one more, don't I?
I think that's it for you. I think that's it for you.
Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, April 22nd is a work session, community meeting room, 10 a.m. Everybody got that on the calendar, correct?
Yes, sir. May I add something to that?
Go ahead.
There's been a request from the Cooperative Extension Director, Billy Barrow, if we can do the Cooperative Extension can do the report to the people during that meeting, where they usually, each of his employees will usually provide an update on their respective areas, and then they would also provide or prepare lunch for the board.
Great.
I wanted to confirm if that would, we could work that into the plan for
Great.
April 22nd.
How long is that normally?
They said about 10 minutes per employee, so about 40 minutes for the update and then lunch. We could have a working lunch if the board desires.
Thank you.
Are we on board for me to give them the go ahead to do that?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Robson.
I have a couple things. First, I'm going to yield to 1-3 minutes to DSS director, so she can let the citizens of Berkshire County that's listening on share about Medicaid expansion. Ms. Lillen, will you please approach? Give the board and the citizens of Berkshire County some insight and some information on Medicare expansion and let them know where we are, what we need from them. We need them to come in and register and sign up for Medicaid expansion so that they can get the benefits that they deserve.
All right. So on March 19th, we had a Medicaid expansion event, Get Covered Medicaid for Berkshire County and Washington County. And we had staff there that wanted to basically get the citizens that are age 61 to 64 to sign up for Medicaid expansion to basically see if they're eligible. So we are promoting applications and we are promoting signups. So the agency is going to be coming out to the senior center, and we are also speaking to the churches to see if we could come out one Saturday in May or June. What's her name?
The name
of the church.
Oh,
no.
Sorry. Mount Olive Baptist Church.
Mount Olive Baptist Church. I know his name. Mount Olive Baptist Church is working in conjunction with DSS to try to make sure that we come out on a Saturday so we can gain access to that population. So we are hoping that the citizens either come out, call in, or basically email or reach out to us in reference to applying for Medicaid expansion.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Miller, for sharing that, because as our chairman of the board had mentioned earlier, all the interest and all the hard work that you put into the program, and that's so true. No, and I thank you. The other comment I have is by the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd had a CPR work clinic on Saturday and went really well. Anybody could attend, pay, get certified. Well, 2 years being certified as a CPR certification. Other thing, everybody got a pen? Cooper, you got a pen? I'm going to give you an assignment. Assignment is this. I have called Raleigh Communication Agency about all these spam calls and you know, people calling you and telemarketing and all this. And now, if you dial 888, get the 888, okay, 832-1222. And listen to the prompt, and they'll go to one, hit one, you'll be registered for no toilet markers to continue to call you like they do me, 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay. You have to give them 30 days to clear all telemarketers from calling you. So pass that number on to all your relatives and friends, and we have everybody covered. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. White?
I don't have any at this time.
Sir?
None at this time.
Okay. I don't have any comments, Mr. Manager.
Yes, I have two quick things. Okay. One is, after the consideration of Mr. Lee to serve on the TAC committee, if for whatever reason he declines, I would do have a recommendation, which would be the our economic development director, Franklin Williams. But we'll wait to see what Mr. Lee decides, and then we'll go from there.
Steve used to be on it, didn't he?
Yes. Mm.
If I may?
Yes, sir.
Then I would respect the decline.
Okay.
I think maybe better suited for that position because of his position. But I'm willing to serve. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm willing to serve.
On to my second item. You all have heard me talk about our strategic project coordinator, Mr. Kelly Chesson, who is from the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, who is comes here twice a week to Berkshire County to help us with various tasks. And he is with us tonight. Mr. Chesson, just wanted to introduce him to the board. He's been very helpful and very resourceful. Not to mention, we were on the talking about the animal shelter. We recently got a grant thanks to Kelly's assistance, as well as David Scarborough's. $8,000. It's not a huge amount compared to what we, you know, have to come up with. However, it is helpful. So we recently got an $8,000 grant to help with the animal shelter, and that is from the state. And we have been instructed to reapply for that once the state's budget is approved.
That's for the existing animal shelter.
Gotcha. That's all I have.
Okay. All right. Public comments. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Joseph Powell. It's my first, and I grew up here.
Come on up to the podium, sir.
It really wasn't an issue.
And just state your name and your address.
My name is Joseph Powell. I live in Full Trailer Court on 17 behind the ABC store. I work for Berkshire County Water Department part-time. I started. I enjoy checking meters and turn the water off and on. I enjoy it. I love it. Thank Ms. Ricky Spivey, but I enjoy it. I was just concerned where I live at. There's small children out there. I don't know if this is the right place to bring it, but I said I would come. I'm a little nervous, you know. But it's small children out there, and they go to school and everything. Older, it's not a huge trail for it, but people speed out there. Why? I don't know. It don't have a couple of
speed bumps.
and a couple signs up for those children. And that's all my concern is, because somebody may be drinking. I'm not saying that, but I've talked to a couple of people that came back to speeding. They get upset, call me names, out my name. And I just, if something could be done, some signs or speed bumps put up.
Is that road paved that goes in there?
It's not paved.
It's
no,
not
sir.
Paved.
No, sir.
Yeah. Speed bumps couldn't be effective then at that time.
Yeah.
Signs could be.
Are you talking about the trailer court road? Or are you talking about the road that goes to the
county farm and then you make a right?
But you're talking about the actual trailer park road.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay, I don't know. If
what's the
speed? I don't know. Yes,
sir. I would direct you to the town. It's in the town city limits.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I noticed that the responsibility of having that road paved
right
is the owner of the trailer park.
Trailer park, right.
Yeah. And
right.
Then once he paved it, the town will be glad to come in and do speed bumps without a petition signed by every person that own or rent a trailer from there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where we'll start.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And thank you for working with the Water Department.
Yes, sir. Thank you
all. And, sir. Joseph,
yes.
I'd just like to commend you. You know, you and I go way back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I want to commend you, man. It means a lot that you're concerned about the young people and the safety and well-being.
Yes,
so I wanted to commend you on that.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, Ms. Ratchman.
Commissioner White, can I just say, I remember two winters ago, PETA actually did offer to help pay for equipment that would increase the temperature at the current animal shelter. And I came down with our vice president of operations for PETA, and we toured the shelter with Mr. Scarborough, and we were trying to find areas that we could help so that dogs, when it's 32 degrees outside, the dogs wouldn't be sitting in 32 degrees because it's an outdoor shelter and basically the same temperature inside and outside. And so we did offer to help with that, bring in a fan that would pump hot air into the shelter. And our efforts were pretty much denied. And so I'm not exactly sure why, but we were in touch with Mr. Vaughn and Mr. Scarborough and I would have to go and look, but we are basically, you know, that there wasn't interest in our bringing in this equipment that we were willing to pay for the winter months. So, but we do want to help, and that's why we're here, and that's why I'm here tonight.
So did you find who would be the person that we could write a grant to or write for some money at PETA?
If you're welcome to send a proposal to me, and then I would send it on to the powers that be that would need to see something like that. But I mean, you know,
I'm just like $1 million is.
PETA, just to remind you, PETA is 100% nonprofit. So right. Everything that we have is because of our generous donor base, and our development department works very hard for that. So I can't promise anything. I don't know that we would. I know there are grants in North Carolina, like the one that you just got, which is great, that do help out with, you know, some struggling communities that need assistance. So I know that they do exist in North Carolina.
Gotcha. So would PETA be interested in helping write grants for us to get money? I'm asking because...
Well, I think you have staff that can do capable staff.
We do not have a grant writer. I'm just asking PETA, since you obviously care and are concerned about the animals. So is that something that PETA would be interested in helping out?
I don't know. I mean, I could certainly ask if you want, but I think you have a very capable county manager and assistant county manager that could also write.
We have an assistant county manager wears three hats right now.
We have
county managers probably wearing about two or three also, because we're short staffed in this situation.
So are you asking me if I can find out if we can help with that? Or
I think that Mr. Commissioner White's question was directed to you.
I will certainly go back and ask.
Sure.
How's that?
Because you want to partner with us. It's very obvious that you care about the animals of Bertie County.
Like
I have no clue if you care about anybody else's animals, but I know you care about our animals, right? And I don't mean that ugly. I honest to God do not mean that ugly. I'm saying because you're here.
You pick up your kittens from your house, get them spayed and neutered, and bring them home to you.
Yeah, I'm going
to
tell you what happened.
Don't tell the story.
My two kittens that my granddaughter found in the woods, right? She picked them up, carried them to the house, pulled gum, all treated, cleaned them up good. My granddaughter bought them a little outfit to put on. They stayed 1 week, and now they're gone. They ran out of the house. They kept going. And you know what, Rachel? I ain't seen them in the last month. Uh-huh. I don't know where they got to.
Mr. Foley, you have a question?
Did they wear the clothes when they ran away?
Everything on, man. They gone, man. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, like I was telling people a long time ago, a lady was telling me, so you know what, Mr. Robinson? My son, she adopted this kid, ran away. She said, I ain't going to look for him. You know what? I feel the same way. Let them run through the woods.
Well, I hope they come back.
I hope they come back too.
They know that they have a good home with you.
So I hope they love come back. Them. And we have gave them a name. One was named David. And one.
I hope they come back.
Yeah,
I hope
they come back too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, the ordinance that we're proposing doesn't cost $2 million to pass. It is not, we're not asking for you to build something for this ordinance. We're asking you to pass an ordinance that might prevent suffering, might prevent more animals coming into the shelter, could be very good for the community. I mean, I see that you guys are trying to make some improvements and get people to come to Bertie County, and improving animal welfare in a community is a great way to attract people. So,
thank you.
I do need to talk about somebody tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. My name is Rachel, and I'm here on behalf of PETA and our more than 157,000 members and supporters in North Carolina. Last Monday, we reached out regarding a dog named Princess, whom we had been told died along with two of her puppies approximately 1 month ago after the family stopped feeding the dogs. We were told that the two surviving puppies were found eating their deceased siblings. We requested an investigation into what happened to Princess, her puppies, and the status of the current dogs on the property. We first contacted the county manager's office, the Board of Commissioners, and the sheriff about this case on November 2nd, 2023, after visiting just a few days before and finding Princess and her puppies living in a filthy pen with no food or water. Princess was emaciated. PETA field workers cleaned out the pen, fed and watered all of the animals, and that is the only reason why conditions were not abysmal when animal control and law enforcement went out that same day on November 2nd. Since animal control told the owner that PETA had reported her, we are no longer allowed on the property, and when we tried to go back onto the property, we were told with, you know, very harsh words to never come back. We had been visiting regularly this property since April 2022 and frequently found the dogs neglected. They were often underweight or emaciated, frequently confined without access to food or water, and often kept in feces-filled crates that were too small for them to stand up or turn around in. We also found the dogs chained and penned without any shelter at all, and their chains so tangled they could barely move. On Thursday, this last Thursday, we were told that animal control visited the property for several weeks in November after our initial report, and that Princess and the puppies were gaining weight and growing. Our question is, if were photos taken? We have requested an investigation. Can animal control go back, find out what happened to Princess and her puppies? And I mean, really find out. We are aware that there are dogs still on the property. We would love to know the status of them. If there are photos that can be shared, we would love to see those. And I'm just going to show you. So this was Princess on September 6, 2023. And this also shows how often we visited the property. That was September. This was September 26. That's her on September 26. This was Princess on October 13th. She was in this crate, filthy crate, with her puppies, separated from her puppies. She can barely move. October 28th, this was the time right before we reached out. This was how we found her in this filthy pen. This is the pen that we cleaned up. She had no food or water.
and we took her outside, fed her. And as you can see, these were, this is her ribs. This is not a, this is not, she's not thin because she's nursing her puppies. She's emaciated because she's not being fed enough. And this is another photo of her. So we, you know, we asked for investigation. We certainly appreciate the response from Chairman Trent. I've spoken with Sheriff Ruffin and Mr. Scarborough, but we would really love to know what happened to her and find out, you know, how the other dogs are doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other 3-minute comments? If there are none, we need to make a motion to go into closed session. Under General Statute, North Carolina General Statutes 143-318-11A, 3, 4, and 6. You have a motion, please.
I'll make the motion that we go to persuade NC General Statutes 143-318.11A, 3, 4, and 6.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, we're now in closed session. Take a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're going to put a motion on the table as far as...
Can we let Joe bring you?
Sorry. That's right. Joe, can you bring people out of the waiting room?
Deshaun is doing that right now, Chairman Trent.
Okay. Is everybody out?
Yes, sir. We're all back together.
All right. Thank you. All right. There's two pieces of property. One is the old library, and the other one is the old
cooperative
extension building. The town of Windsor would like to acquire it at no charge to be used for parking and some other things. Comes to us at no charge. Is there a motion on the table?
I made the motion, Mr. Chairman, that we give the town of Windsor at no cost the two properties that they are requesting, the old library and the old extension office.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, so the motion is to convey the two pieces of property to the town of Windsor. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.